name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's join in singing hymn number 144.
Thank you.
Our text is the close. I don't know about you, but surely in the scriptures, my hero is Peter. Paul is too great for me. All I can do is stand back and admire what God was able to do through this man, and do so exceptionally well. St. John, I just can't have the kind of love, evidently, that was such a great mark of this disciple whom Jesus loved. But Peter, so warm, so human, so often failing and fumbling, courageous, daring, usually his foot right in his mouth, and always the Lord picking him up. And maybe this is why he is the prince of the apostles too, that common, ordinary people like you and me, who think that we have such a rough time of it and have so much trouble staying close to our Lord, can be reassured that above everything else, our Lord is close to us. We first run into this remarkable man when he is brought by his brother Andrew to Jesus. He doesn't even come by himself. And our Lord already then gave him the promise of what he would make out of him. Mind you, this quicksilver character, Peter, Simon, really. And our Lord says, I'm going to make you a rock man. Quicksilver people like us, no real stability in ourselves. And our Lord gives us the same assurance, I'm going to make rock people out of you. I'm going to build my church on people like you. You are my church. Wherever you are in this 20th century of time. Then things go along and Peter, tremendous insight, probably the first of them all, Caesarea Philippi especially, to confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Maybe now he's got it made. Like you and me after some mountaintop Holden church service experience, and finally we're with it. And hardly has he come out with his confession. Again he shows how much self-will there is left in him. Our Lord thereupon announces how he would go up to Jerusalem and suffer and die. And Peter doesn't really confess that kind of a Christ. Not so, Lord. And our Lord has to rebuke him for being a Satan to him, to tempt him away from the way of his cross. Walk out of a service and we fall flat on our faces again. But our Lord didn't kick Simon out. Our Lord doesn't kick us out. The foot washing, this tremendous manifestation of the lowly, humble, loving service of Jesus Christ. And again, Peter's going to tell his Lord what to do. Not me, Lord. You're not going to wash my feet. When our Lord explained, this is the way you have part in me. Well, then he went to tell his Lord again, well, then the feet aren't enough. You better do the whole business while you're at it. Something like ourselves, huh? Never quite content to let Jesus be the Christ, the Lord, the Savior that he says he is to us. We always want to make him something else. Either he ought to be more in our estimation, or else he ought to be really a great deal less. And probably the second is more of a temptation to us. Peter, ready to fight and to die for Jesus Christ. There's no question he drew the sword. And he probably would have been overwhelmed and knew that he was laying his life on the line. But that isn't what our Lord wanted. There was to be a different type of training for Peter. The cold stares of the soldiers in the courtyard. Mockery of the servant. And then Peter, right flat on his face, and he denies three times. And the cock crows, and he goes out and weeps bitterly. This is the Peter whom our Lord confronts. And I believe that whether this is actually part of St. John's writing or not, it's quite immaterial. But here we have something that I am sure our Lord would want to say very directly to us. How often we have fallen. Is there the possibility of full restoration? It's remarkable, I think, that our Lord calls Simon by his old name again. Simon, you're your old natural self, aren't you? Merely the son of John, not the son of God, not the rock man, in yourself. Do you love me? Do you love me more than the rest, like you once said, that even though all would run away, you wouldn't? You really love me more than all the rest? And the word that our Lord uses here is that word love, which he himself is, that St. Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 13, complete, total, self-giving love made manifest only once, and that's in our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you've got from me, Peter, more than all the rest? You know, Peter had learned something now, not quite the old self-willed, proud man that he was. And he responds and he says, Lord, you know that I'm your friend. Doesn't claim any particular closeness to Christ. Certainly doesn't claim any more preeminence over the rest of them. And as long as Peter is truly Jesus' friend, Jesus has got a job for him. Feed my lamb. As long as we still are Jesus' friend, he's got a job for us. As long as we are close to him, as long as we are willing to take our stand with him, we're going to fall out of weakness. But then he comes again, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just keep on believing on me. But unless we are his friend, he really doesn't have any work for us. And the work that he has for us is always identifiable with his own work. Feed my lambs, perhaps better would be pasture my sheep, and then feed my sheep. But they're always my lambs, my sheep. And the only way they're going to be fed by a Peter or by you and by me is if through us they hear the shepherd's voice. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Our Lord asks Peter the second time, now not more than these others do you love me, but simply, Simon, take a real good look. Do you really love me even? And Peter again responds very humbly, Lord, you know I'm your friend. All right then, I'll give you another job. A job that's a little more difficult because the lambs of the flock are perhaps more ready to receive what I am ready to give them. But now I'm going to give you the sheep. Tend to the sheep. The more difficult task. only if we are Jesus' friend, only if we are willing to let him be to us what he has come to be for all. Then the last, and no doubt now Peter is grieved because this reminds him of the denial, the threefold denial. And now our Lord asks him even, Simon, son of John, are you really even my friend? Are you willing to take your stand there and let come what will? And then Peter appeals to our Lord's knowledge, this personal relationship. Lord, you know all things. You surely recognize that I am at least your friend. Then our Lord finally tells him what's going to happen. The self-willed man is finally going to be asked to offer up this self. You see, St. John, I believe, personifies people who are truly able to forget themselves. St. Peter, I believe, personifies people who must offer themselves up. Self must always get out of the way if Jesus Christ is going to have his way with us and if he's going to have his way through us. Even at the last, our Lord predicts Peter's martyrdom here. Even at the last, we are told, probably legend, once more Peter on the verge of falling, becoming his old self-willed self again. We are told that he was in prison. He was able to escape. And walking on the way out of Rome, he met our Lord bearing his cross. Quo vadis, Domine, he asked. Whither goest thou, Lord? Iterum crucifixi. To be crucified again. Peter on the verge once more of running away, way at the end of his life, and our Lord meets him again in order to give him strength to go back to that cell and suffer his own martyrdom, to suffer the total, final sacrifice of himself, that Jesus Christ might be manifest as all to the glory of God the Father. Well, our Lord asks this of us now, as surely as we are his friend, that we at least offer ourselves up to him, that he may still get his work done through us, and that by us, manifest to all, Lord of all, to the glory of God the Father. Let us pray. Grant unto us, O God, the heavenly vision, that we may behold not only the things of sense in their turmoil and transience, but the things that remain in their rest and everlastingness. Grant us the sweet graces of the eternal years, and may we ever rejoice in the duties that bring with them a quiet heart. Deliver us, O God, from becoming entangled in the web of things, bewildered by life's vicissitudes, distracted by its demands, harassed by its waste, heartbroken by its sorrows. Help us to understand and trust thy constant and beneficent love, which reveals to us thy divine purpose and summons us to communion with thine eternal goodness. Lay not upon us, O Lord, more than we are able to bear. And since fretfulness of spirit is more hurtful than the heaviness of any burden, give us his spirit whose yoke is easy and whose burden is light. O God, the might of all them that put their trust in thee, grant that we may be more than conquerors over all that make war upon our souls, and in the end may enter into perfect peace in thy presence. O Lord, support us all the day long of this troublous life, until the shadows lengthen and the evening comes, and the busy world is hushed, and the fever of life is over, and our work is done. Then, in thy mercy, grant us a safe lodging and holy rest and peace at last. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen. Let's close by singing hymn number 172. 172.